Well, it was a little while ago that I spoke with a woman from Upper Michigan. Her name is Diane Ilikainen. She is a teacher, kindergarten through third grade, and she was involved in, they had this grant. Shopko had this foundation where they give out $5,000 to one lucky teacher. And there was a competition between 10 teachers that people would vote for. And so Diane contacted our radio station, our group of radio stations, and wanted to know if we could help her. And we said, no way. I'm kidding. And then we got some ads on the radio. We got her on the phone. She also contacted other media outlets. She used Facebook. And I believe she told me the Finlanders came to her rescue as well. So Diane Ilikainen is with me from Marquette. How you doing, Diane?
I'm doing well, thank you. How about you?
I am doing great. Did you guys get a little bit of snow the other day or much?
We did. In fact, we had a snow day on Thursday. We got about 4 to 5 inches, and overnight we got another several inches. So hopefully it'll warm up and melt.
And I know it's supposed to be fun because you have to drive that stretch along Lake Superior to go to work. And
right.
How long of a trip is that for you?
It's about 30 minutes.
And were the roads really bad when you're traveling on that?
They can be. Now, the last few years, when the roads are bad, M28 closes.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a few more snow days, which can add up then in the spring, but that's okay. But I'm so used to driving it, and after 20-some years, I finally purchased a four-wheel drive, and it makes a huge difference.
I bet it does. I bet you must have got stuck sometimes without a four-wheel drive, huh?
In the parking lot. I've had a hard time getting out of the parking lot a few times.
Oh, boy. So, Diane, you were on the radio with me, and this is my podcast. And if you don't mind, maybe tell me a little bit about your life, how long you've been a teacher, your family. You have children, you're married. Would you mind filling in some of those details?
Absolutely. I have been teaching for 26 years. This is my 23rd year with the Autran and Noda Public Schools. I am married. I have 4 children. My oldest is 22, and she is due tomorrow with her first child. we're kind of waiting to hear, if she's big. She's a tiny little gal, and she is all stomach. So it could be any time now.
I'm sure she loves hearing you say that, right?
Oh, I bet she does.
So you've lived up here, is it your whole life? Have you been up
my
here?
My entire life.
Where'd you go to school to become a teacher?
I went to Northern.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And did you always teach where you're at now?
No, my first several years, I taught up in Big Bay, Powell Township. I was their preschool teacher. I, along with my bachelor's, I have an additional endorsement for preschool. And so I have worked with preschoolers for a number of years, not in the last maybe like 16, 17, but I've, had that experience.
So what do you like about being a teacher? What made you, first of all, what made you decide you wanted to do this? And then secondly, what do you like?
Well, it's really interesting. It wasn't one of my childhood goals. I had other things that I wanted to do. And in fact, in high school, I went through the cosmetology program over at the Jacob Eddy. During the afternoons, I would take core classes at the high school, and then at lunchtime, I would go over to the Jacob Eddy. And when I graduated from high school, I also graduated from cosmetology, and actually did hair for several years when I was in college. My first few years of college. And I had actually wanted to open up a salon, and I had a client who was an educator, and she and her daughter would come in monthly. And after several visits, she said, you know, have you ever thought about going into education? And I said, well, no. I was 3 years into, you know, my business degree. And I, the more I thought about it, I thought, well, you know, maybe. And so she talked me into doing an after-school program, you know, being an aide for an after-school program. And so I did that for half a year, and I decided, you know, I think I will switch. So she actually is, and I hadn't spoken to her in quite a few years, and I found her on Facebook, and I said, you know, I have to really thank you. Many years ago, you steered me in the right direction.
Isn't that something?
It is.
People come along in our lifetime, and we don't realize it, but maybe they're taking us down the path we're really intended to go. Do you feel that's what it is then, Diane?
I really do. I really do.
And what is it you love about teaching? You love the children, their interaction? I mean,
I do. I really enjoy being around the kids, and I don't know if it's the number of years, but I'm just so at ease. I feel so comfortable, you know, getting up and talking in front of them. You know, we have a good rapport. I really enjoy the staff I'm with. In fact, one of the gals was having a little birthday get together this evening, and so I said, well, you know, I'll come out and join, and one of the other gals will be there too. And we just, you know, it's a nice place to be. I have a wonderful administrator, very supportive. It's just a great place to be.
So, and this is a very small school, isn't it?
It is. We have under 50 kids, pre-K through 8.
Wow.
And I have 10 students.
Wow.
I have 5. Right. I have 5 kindergartners and 5 first graders. And then when I have my art group come in, K through 3, I have 22 kids. So what I have with 4 classes for art, most people have for 1 class.
Right. Yeah. You hear about schools that are overcrowded. And in some ways, it's a big advantage, I'm guessing, to have only 10 students because you can really be more one-on-one, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're really fortunate. In fact, my own children have all gotten their start out at, the Autran and Oda school. Something really neat. Yesterday, my 14-year-old, who is a freshman now at the high school here in Marquette, he went up through 8th grade, and they had a half day yesterday. And instead of hanging out with friends, he said, I think I'm going to see if Grandma will bring me out to school. And he spent the afternoon out at our school just because, you know, he missed the kids and missed the teachers.
Really?
And he shadowed the music teacher for the day.
Wow.
For the afternoon.
That's amazing, isn't it? How many, you know, I'm not going to knock any of the bigger schools, but there just seems to be more of a community or family connection. Do you feel that as well, Diane?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when I was in the running for the Shopko grant, you know, I wasn't sure, you know, I had no idea it was going to turn out like it did. I thought, well, you know, I have a few friends on Facebook that'll vote for me daily and my coworkers. And I had so many of our former, school families who were sharing and they were voting and they were, you know, really such a big part of, you know, helping, you know, for us to win. And they, you know, haven't had kids in the school for many years. So, it's just such a neat thing. There's such a sense of, the school belongs to everyone.
Sense of community, you know? In some ways. Like, we're all part of the same thing. You know, and I interviewed a man from Africa. He was a doctor. And he would travel the continent, and he was teaching, well, he was, I think more than anything, he was really lifting people up with his words. But he told me once that more than once, people would ask him where he's from, and he said Africa, and they would say, "Oh, well, that's too bad. I'm sorry." And he goes, "There's nothing to be sorry for. People don't realize what community is like." And he said, "When somebody has a problem, the whole community comes together to support them, or when somebody needs something." And that's, to me, just incredible, because I think maybe that's the way we were intended to live. And you see that in Upper Michigan a lot, don't you?
Right. Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. You know, in the bigger cities, everyone is so anonymous and,
maybe
you know,
afraid.
And everyone, Right. And everyone has their own issues. And, you know, not everyone is able to help out their fellow person at, you know, any given moment. But, you know, here, even those that are having their own family problems, you know, are empathetic to and helpful, you know, to others that need help, which is really nice.
I think that's what we're here to do on this planet, is to help as much as we can and to love others as much as possible. And I'm thinking you must have felt the love. Tell us about this Shopko Foundation. How did this all come about? How did you find out about it? And then what happened after that?
Sure. Well, I enjoy entering contests. I enter things all the time, and I always have that, now if I won, I would do this, or, you know, I think about it, then I enter, and then I, you know, don't really give it much thought, because there are so many people that enter,
right,
you know, different things. And so I entered on Facebook. Shopko had a contest back in August for teachers, and it said win $500 for your school. And I thought, oh yeah, great. And so I, you know, signed up, and I was notified at the beginning of September that I had won the $500.
Now, how did they pick? How did they pick you for that?
It was random.
Okay.
So it was random.
Just totally random.
And there were people, totally random, and there were people from all over the United States. And
what is the odds of that you get it? Do you think it's really totally random?
Well, you know, there's also that, I kind of have that PCH, Publishers Clearinghouse mentality. You can't win if you don't enter. And,
right.
You know, I mean, I
guess my point on that, I'm sorry, Diane, my point on that is anything really random when you look at a bigger picture of things? Maybe things aren't random, are they?
Well, you know, maybe not. And I agree with you. And I think they're, I think, you know, I think, you know, we really were so fortunate to win that money. And it was something that I think really, you know, can benefit our school. No, it can benefit all schools, but I think, you know, a sum of money like that for a smaller school, and so, you know, maybe it wasn't random. Maybe, it's hard to, you know,
well, I guess
for me to.
I guess let me just say it this way, Diane. I look at it as everything that happens to us, there's always a reason for it, and it's part
sure.
of a bigger picture, and sometimes it's there to maybe push us to go even further, and you and I have talked about that. And so if it's part of like divine planning, if you will, or part of, you know, a bigger orchestrated event to maybe open the door for other great things to come your way, that's what I'm kind of talking about. That
absolutely.
Everything that happens to us in life, and just because these other teachers didn't win, well, maybe they'll win next year. And it'll start their life on a course that will make different changes. So you applied and you got the $500. What happens after that?
Well, then, you know, I was notified that I was in the running with 9 other teachers that for a $5,000 grant, and the winner was based on the number of votes. Well, you know, at first I was looking at it and I thought, oh, we're awfully, you know, an awfully small area,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if we really have a shot, but we'll give it a try. And so I started, you know, telling friends and you know, posting a little bit on Facebook. And then I was contacted by TV6, and they came out, and I was so surprised they came out, you know, to do an interview. And I thought, you know what, this is really kind of becoming something here. And mm-hmm. so that's when I called you, sent you an email.
Right.
And I thought, you know, we can do this. And so...
And you were going up against these towns that were a lot bigger cities, weren't they?
Right, right. And all over the place. And so, you know, at first I was like, well, you know, we'll give it a shot. And then as the time, you know, as the days went on, I thought, you know what, we can do this. And along with it, so many people were sharing and posting something daily and, you know, posting to other groups. And, I had with the group called on Facebook called the Upers, you know, just people from the UP or that have lived in the UP or are interested in the UP. I had over 1,000 shares on the post that I made within maybe a 2 to 3 day period of time, and I was stunned. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
And so then I thought, well, you know, I thought, you know, I don't know for sure. And you know, with some things that you vote for, they have kind of a total, and you can kind of see where, you know, the group that you're voting for is placed.
Right.
You know, you can see.
Right. Did they have that?
And I had, no, they didn't. They didn't have anything. So I had no idea.
No idea.
No idea until.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say no idea until, you know, it was the Monday morning. And, you know, I had the kids in the gym for, we do every morning, one of the teachers takes all of the kids for an exercise period for 15 minutes, and we do games or, you know, things like that. And had all the kids sitting there, and they had contacted my administrator and set something up. And, you know, they came in through the side door in the gym, and, you know, I was just stunned. I was so surprised.
What happened to you, and this is not something, and we're certainly, you know, this area, we're not saying it's any better than any, people are divine souls everywhere, but there's just a sense of connectedness in this area that's so unique. I look at a couple other things that took place. Northern Michigan University, which is in Marquette, the town you live in, they were in a competition to get a grant for one of their halls, not a hall, but it was their arena, Lakeview Arena. And
and
that was, you know, Upper Michigan people again coming together to support and vote on it. There was also, and of course they won it, which was a little surprising. And then also remember that Duluth trading thing? And they were, I don't know if you've ever heard about that. And Upper Michigan went up against Duluth in the finals because everybody got, you know, they gave us all of Upper Michigan because some of these were big cities that were competing. And we eventually went into the finals with Duluth, the home of Duluth Trading Company, Duluth, Minnesota, and we beat them. And
yes.
And it's not a case of, it's just this case of everybody seems to rally and support each other. And I guess the whole reason I wanted to do this interview is this is what I think we should do as a global group of citizens, is that we should rally and support each other because we see it so much here. And I'm sure other parts of the world, you know, somebody was just telling me they were down in Honduras not too long ago, and they said, you wouldn't believe it. These people don't have hardly anything, but they will do anything for you. They'll even share their food with you. So sometimes maybe less is more and people feel more connected. What do you think makes this area different from other areas?
You know, other than that sense of community, I don't know.
Maybe smaller because we're smaller communities.
Well, it is smaller, and you know, with, you're right. And even, you know, in Marquette, you know, so many, you know, so many people.
Right.
And I think, you know, there's not that feeling of being anonymous. You know,
right.
I think, you know, there are some, you're right, yeah. I think, you know, people, you know, whether they know you real well or not, you know, they they connect with you, you know.
You know, I find, too, that I think being in a smaller community, and again, not a knock on a major city, there's a lot of wonderful people and anywhere you go. But we also, I don't know, the people of the Midwest, and especially upper Michigan, northern Wisconsin maybe, from what I know of, just what I've experienced, they seem very friendly. They seem very open. They seem helpful. And, you know, maybe that was the way it was at one time everywhere you went. But maybe there's more like just pockets of places like that. And I think part of the reason for that is because we still are connected to family and we have certain values and certain things we believe in. And we truly care about other people around us. And you can see that wherever you go with it. And it's not perfect. By any means, those of you listening outside the area, this is not utopia. We have issues as well with other things. And some of those issues are getting a little worse. But it's still, for the most part, an incredible place to live, not only because of the people, but do you love the... I mean, you live in Marquette. The winters are not the best. And you drive... you drive on a road that gets a lot of snow. You must love something about Upper Michigan.
Well, I do, and I think it's a wonderful place to raise your family, and you know I think about this, and I don't go out often, but you know when I go anywhere, I see so many people that you know it's wonderful you know so many people and. You know, when I catch up with, in fact, I was just, I had just posted on Facebook, they have renovated the Market Orphanage.
Yes.
And my 11-year-old and I went through the tour yesterday. It was just really neat. And they had, they've tried to maintain some of the character of the building, the flooring. They try to keep as much of the original flooring as possible. It's beautiful, and the molding and the chapel. They tried, you know, as much as they could. They try to, you know, keep the character of the building. And so and what was neat in the apartments that we could go into, they had a picture of what the that specific place looked like prior to renovation. And so, you know, I snapped a picture of, you know, the before and after, and then I posted it. And I had so many people that, you know, they don't make comments on Facebook hardly ever. And they were just, you know, they were so happy to see that something's being done with the orphanage. And they were, you know, I think everyone who has never been in the orphanage always wondered what it looked like, you know, for the many, many years that it was vacant.
You know what I always heard about the orphanage is that it was haunted.
You know, in fact, one of my friends from, she's been down in Miami for quite a while. That's what she had put. She said, you know, I don't know if I could live there. It's haunted. And I said, well, you know, it's kind of funny. I went in there with the hopes of kind of having an experience, but
really?
I didn't. Yeah. You know, when I walked in there, I thought, gosh, that'd be really pretty interesting, you know, to have that experience. But nothing like that it happened. But apartments are based on, you know, income need.
Right.
And, you know, it would be a really neat place to live, I think. So I'm hoping that, you know, that they are very successful with, you know, renting. I'm sure they will be. But it was really pretty neat to go through. And, you know, you could see at one point, you know, there had been some homeless people living in there, and you could see, you know, some different, you know, some graffiti and things like that. Mm. And they, you know, and where, you know, they, and where that had taken place. And there had been actually a fire in there at one point. I think it was in the early 80s. And so they had the pictures of you know what it looked like. And I can imagine, you know, if I were going in there, you know, prior to, you know, it being renovated, I think it would have been, you know, kind of a little depressing, but it's beautiful now. They're doing a really nice job.
You were telling me, I don't know if you want to admit this during this interview,
sure,
about, because you kind of believe in spirits, and didn't you tell me something about something going on at the school where you're at?
Well, yes. Our school was built in 1926, and full disclosure, my great-great-grandfather donated the land for the school. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. I don't know if I ever told you that.
No, I don't think so.
But, yeah, isn't that interesting?
Isn't that funny how you wound up there? Don't you think that's a little unusual?
You know, it really was. It really was. And my father went to the school. He grew up in Dearden. Hmm. And so, and when, to be honest, when I interviewed, I never said one word about having any relations or anything.
Right.
So, you know, so I never, and my name at the time, I was married, my first husband, my last name was Gladwell. And so I never said what my maiden name was. And, you know, I wanted to make sure that it was just an honest review of my skills and not, you know, anything else. But anyways, so the school has been said to, you know, I've had a number of my coworkers over the years that have said that they've heard things like footsteps, and balls bouncing in the gym and things like that. And I, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of open and receptive to it. And I've been at the school very late all by myself. And I've never had any experience. And so I always think, come on, you know.
You want an experience.
Speak to me, we might even
related. You want an experience. That's interesting.
I really would like one.
Why is that? Why do you want to have an experience?
I'm always very open to it, but I can't actually get on board unless I've experienced something. Mm. You know what I mean? I
right.
can't. And I'm you know, I've had so many people that I've known over the years that have had different experiences in different ways. And I'd like to, you know, I'd like to have an experience, you know, something I'm hoping positive,
right.
You know, at some point. And
well, maybe you've already had them and you just don't realize it.
That is, you know, yes.
Because,
right.
You know, things that happened to me when I was younger. And I would dismiss it and make excuses. And then, I don't know what it was. Maybe I'm just more open and I don't doubt it in any way. And it just seems to keep happening over and over again. And you're going to probably think this is really weird. But I'm pretty sure somebody I know did this. The Monday night, I went to bed, and I always go to bed before my wife. Because I have to get up at 4 in the morning, and she doesn't have to quite get up that early. So I always take my socks off, and I lay them on the floor. And I went to bed, didn't think anything of it, Monday night. And then the next day, I'll put my socks in the hamper. Well, I got up, and there was only one sock. And I'm thinking, that's weird. So Tuesday night, nothing, no big deal, go to bed, okay. Wednesday, I crawl into bed, probably was about 8:30 or so. I went to bed pretty early. And I feel by my pillow, and there's the missing sock.
And how it got there, hey?
And people are giving me all these theories. Well, you probably got up in the middle of the night, and it's the sock stuck to your foot. It's like, really? I didn't get up in the middle of the night, for one. And my wife didn't do it as a prank. She told me she was, and then she actually brought it up, and it made a lot of sense to me. about a year ago, it'll be coming up real soon here, 1 year ago, we lost somebody that was real close to us. This person was like a second mother to me. I actually stayed with her when I went to broadcasting school. And she was in her 80s, and she passed away last year. And we're coming up on her anniversary real soon here. And I'm thinking, because I've had other things that have happened that I...
Right.
And here she's the one, and she's not into that as much as I am, but she's the one that said, well, maybe it was Susan. And I stopped and thought, huh, maybe it was. I'll have to talk to one of my psychic friends and see what they have to say. But I'm sure things have happened around you. They do for everybody. We just don't always recognize it. Sometimes it can be animals doing strange things. Sometimes it can be just something that got turned on that you didn't realize it got turned on, or even a bulb blowing out, or electronic devices when spirits are around. Those kind of things can happen. We don't always see an apparition. A lot of times it's just, like I said, a sock winds up next to your pillow. either I somehow got that there by accident, and I slept with a sock for 2 nights. But I would have known that. And you know, even if it was on my foot, how does it get off my foot and get all the way up by my pillow?
All the way up to your pillow.
It's not like I'm an acrobat. It's like I'm not this acrobatic guy that's flipping, doing flips in the bed. So it makes no sense other than somebody, and they do different things to get our attention. So who knows? You said it was your great-great-grandfather?
My great-great-grandfather had donated the land, yeah.
And I would say if he's in spirit, he definitely probably is around you. And maybe, who knows, maybe he had a hand in getting you to go out in that direction.
Well, and it could, you know, it could be. And you know, to be honest, when I took the position, my oldest child was she was born in June, and that was in September, and I had already started, back out at school up in Powell Township. And so I really wanted the full-time position, and but I wasn't, you know, it wasn't... it's hard to say. I was teaching part time up in Big Bay, and of course everyone, you know, wants a full time position. But if I didn't get it, it wouldn't kill me type thing. When I interviewed, and I wanted to interview, like I said, and I didn't want them to know that I had family that was from Dearden. I didn't want to say a word, and they wouldn't have known, you know, with my, I of course didn't say anything about my maiden name. And but when I gave the interview, and actually they called back that night and offered me the position. And I thought, well, you know, if I get it, I get it. I'm so fortunate I did get it. I'm not making light of anything, but it was one of those things. I just kind of walked in.
It's kind of like all laid out for you, wasn't it? It's like, it's like somebody else laid this out for you, and it was meant to be, just like I think you winning that award was meant to be. And this is certainly not, again, not a slight to any of those teachers that would have won it. That would have been awesome. But you won it. And then I remember you telling me afterwards, Diane, we had a couple of conversations, but you really feel different now about, because weren't you say you were a little shy to kind of do these kind of things at one time?
You know, something to be out in the public and to be giving opinions, or to be, on the TV, you know, and things like that. I was a little, you know, that wasn't in my comfort zone. And now I feel a little stronger. Mm-hmm. I think I was telling you that my daughter, the gal who's due tomorrow,
right.
She's been an actor, you know, since she was she wanted to start acting. We didn't force her when she was young. I think she was 4 or 5 when she did her first play, and she is part of the Vista, and I really want to start doing some fundraising for them, seeing if I can write some grants, some national grants. And it's such a beautiful building, and it would be so wonderful if, you know, if somebody could come in and renovate it and bring it back to its glory, it would be such a plus for, you know, the town of Dingane.
Right.
And
this is a theater that you're talking about.
Some people
listening outside the area might not know what we're talking, because there's people right now listening in France and going, what is she talking about?
Right.
So we have a theater up in this area called Vista Theater, and this is a historic theater, and your daughter was involved in that. So now you're beginning to feel that maybe this is taking you out of your shell, and it's going to allow you to maybe be more public. And the great thing about it is that you're talking about giving back to others. You won something, you're sharing it with everybody at the school, and now maybe this will get you to go another step further.
Right, right.
And if it doesn't, that's fine. We don't have to, you know, sometimes people feel, well, what, I must be doing something now. I think just living your life and treating others well and bringing love to the world and joy is plenty. And if you want to do more than that, that's awesome. So if you choose to take that next step, of course, you know, you always have my support, and I'm many, many others, I'm sure, that would be right behind
you. Well, thank you. Fabulous. Yeah, I am. I feel so, good about being able to help, you know, I think about other ways, along with the Vista, other, things that I would like to do to help out. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know, during the school year, I'm pretty busy. And, I keep thinking, okay, now this summer I would like to, really look into some things and, get the ball rolling on, different kind of fundraisers, things like that.
Well, you've seen what the power of people coming together can do, and now you've witnessed it firsthand, which very few people probably get that opportunity to that extent, and that kind of empowers you, doesn't it?
Yes, definitely, definitely.
And so you can, and I see this all the time, too, with people I talk to and interview, whether it's for my podcast or on the radio, something happens in their life, it changes it for the better, and then they want to do more. And I think I look at, like I said earlier in the interview, about this is part of a divine plan that was set in motion, and it was there to, if this is true, what I'm saying, and you may not agree, but it was set in motion to allow you to wake up by receiving this, and then in turn, you can go inward and bring that joy that you have outward and the willingness to help others, and now you'll have more confidence and more belief. So you're the right person at the right time for all of this, and everybody, I think everybody has an opportunity. It's not like, oh, there's a chosen one or two. It's like we all can become that if we open our hearts to it.
Right. I think so too.
And so do you see any of that like this is, I know I'm asking a crazy question, but maybe this is all part of a bigger plan to get you to take some bigger steps?
Well, I think so. I
not that you were taking bigger steps before. I didn't mean to imply that, but I mean, I'm just saying that.
I know, but I do.
Good things have happened to me. I share it with others, and it gets me out of my shell and gets me to do things. And I see that with other people, too, that I've known and interviewed. I've talked to a lot of people. I'm always talking to people, and I love their stories,
right.
And I love to hear what they have to say about their lives and what took them in what direction. And to me, and I'm, in the back of my mind, I'm always saying, I wonder what led them down that road. It's not a coincidence, is it? I just think that there's so much more going on that we can't see that is leading us every step of the way.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
There was a show I just did. My last show was about a man who wrote a book about his father from World War II, who he never met. He died. His father was killed in World War II before he was born, before this man, the author, wrote the book. So Robert,
sure,
the author, 40 years after his dad died, who he kind of forgot about, but the mother was very much, it affected his mom quite a bit. And they were invited to this reunion of the former naval seamen that were on the USS the ship that they were on. I can't think of the name of it right now. But the thing is, they were invited back to this reunion, and they both debated as to whether or not they wanted to go because she was probably still hurt. And he never knew his father, so he's kind of disconnected to him. But something led him to do that. And by doing that, he went to reunions for the next 10 years, and then he was able to write that book about his father. And he found out a little piece of information in history that wasn't recorded, but he also learned through these other sailors, he learned who his father really was. And I think his father, or a higher force, was guiding him to do that, just like I think all of us are being guided to go in a direction if we just listen, you know?
Right. Yep. I agree. And that's a wonderful story.
Yeah,
where was the man from? Is he local?
He was from, he was writing a book, and I think when I talked to him, he was down in Miami. Sometimes I'll have national authors on or people from different parts of the world, so I talk to people all over the place. But he wrote the book about the Battle of Cape Esperance and this little-known battle that took place before the Battle of Guadalcanal, and this one ship that kind of got caught in the middle of it and eventually sunk. And his father was a torpedo operator, and he was one of the first guys to get hit. And he survived for a while. But, you know, it was just fascinating to hear the story. But also what I took away from it, because I asked him, I said, do you think your father was with you in writing this book and finding answers? And he goes, you know, that's a possibility. He says, but I never really gave it too much thought. And so I always think that there is, you know, now that I know that there are loved ones around us so much, not just loved ones, but guides and angels. Do you believe that at all, Diane?
I do.
And so I know that they interact with us and they whisper in our ear, go do this, Diane. Apply for that. And you're going, huh, I got an idea. I'm going to go apply for this. And then sometimes it's really, you know, it's really the somebody else that's kind of nudging us to take another step. Go ahead.
I think so. I think you're right. You know, and I'm the kind of person that, I'm pretty happy with, you know, wherever I am in my life. I try not to dwell on anything negative, and not everything goes perfectly. That's fine, you know. But, I can be happy in whatever I'm doing. And I think it's nice that I do get a little push now and then.
Yeah.
You know?
It's nice for all of us, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, if my friend Jan, who I had done her and her daughter Sienna's hair, if she hadn't given me a little push, I may have been a hairstylist still, which is perfectly fine. I enjoyed it.
Right.
But, it's interesting, you know, because I'm very, you know, so many people say, gosh, you've never left the UP, and how can you stand the winters and whatever. And I'm just, you know, I get a little tired of winter, but I'm pretty happy, and I look out my back door, and I see deer out in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've got a pretty creek running through my backyard. I'm just looking at it right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have chickens. They don't want to come out right now. chickens out across the creek. And, I'm pretty happy with, I've always been pretty happy with the way my life has gone.
And you must be like nature. You must be connected to nature then, if you're talking about all these things.
You know, I am. I don't camp often. I did when I was younger. But I do. I enjoy, I enjoy looking out at nature. We have several deer that come in daily. For a while there, we were having the two albinos come into our backyard.
Wow.
They haven't now in, you know, a number of months. But I've got quite a few, you know, pictures that I've taken of two of them, you know, in the backyard eating. And we live right in Marquette, but we are kind of on the north side of town, and it's where we are. It's kind of wooded in our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Or quite wooded.
That's nice.
And so I'm 5 minutes from Target, but I feel like I'm in the woods if I look out the back window. you know. So
I know. I've been in similar situations where at least you have a little bit of nature right in your backyard, and it's nice. And it's just the appreciation of it, too, I think. Because to me, it's just, it's when I get out in the woods, I don't know if you ever go out in the woods, but I just, the energy I feel getting away from all the electronic devices, it's just a different feeling. Or being out on,
oh, absolutely.
If you ever get out on Lake Superior or Lake Michigan, get away from the shore a little bit, it's an amazing feeling. And I not that I'm much of a fisherman, but my father-in-law loves to fish, so I've been out on his boat when the weather was nice. We don't go out there when it's rough. I've even kayaked on Lake Michigan a little bit, but not very far from shore. But it's just a completely,
sure.
I don't know how to describe it. It's just an amazing energy that I think exists in nature that you don't find in buildings or, you know, it's what you make of it, too. I mean, you can have a building. If it's all naturally made, I think there could be an amazing energy in that. And maybe how it's designed. If it's, you know, some buildings that are made are seem to have an energy by their design. So,
right.
But to me, the best way to connect is to even just driving through it or getting out and walking in it. I've always just loved to walk barefoot in the grass. I just love that feeling that there's an energy you feel by doing that. I really think Earth is feeding us, you know, and the more we allow that. And I think it's healthier for us, too, to be out and be in those places from time to time. We don't have to live like Grizzly Adams. I don't know if you ever heard of Grizzly Adams, that show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm old enough. I watched that.
You don't have to live like Grizzly Adams, but... and if you do, good for you. But if you don't,
sure.
We don't have to live like that. But we still, that connection is what we have up here, I think. That makes us another way unique. Because I've been to different parts of this country, and they're wonderful places. I've been out west a lot, and you don't have the diversity of rivers, great lakes, trees, forests, you know, streams, all of that we have here. That it's easy to take for granted until you go somewhere where they don't have it. And then it's like, well, you go through Iowa, not knocking Iowa or Nebraska. I've made a few trips through there. And if you like corn, it's great. And especially in Nebraska where it's really flat, you know. But people live out there and I'm sure they're happy as well. And they get from it what they do. But for me, my soul loves this part of the world. And I'm sure there's other places in different locations. It's just, to me, it's an amazing place.
Right, I agree too. You know, I was thinking when you were just talking about that, I was thinking one of my favorite memories of recent is blueberry picking on Sands Plains. And my husband and I and our 11-year-old and then a friend of ours had gone picking. And we parked and I just made a beeline for this patch, and I said, "This is mine." And they went in different directions, and our son Johnny went with my husband, and I was sitting there all by myself, and I could hear them talking, you know, my husband and my son talking, you know, in the distance, but you know, I was just there by myself in the picking patch, and there were a pair of cranes calling to each other.
Really?
And I thought, you know what? This is just perfect. It was just a perfect time. Not to mention, I filled pails in just no time flat. That was a great day.
Yeah, it's that connection, too. And then when you hear things like the cranes, and, you know, even those, I think, you know, sometimes are placed and can give us a message, you know. Animals of different types can mean different things, but to witness a part of that, to me, is truly a great gift. Because I witness a lot of times animals in my yard that have done things, sometimes really strange things. You've never had any animals do anything, something you would call unusual. Have you ever noticed that at all?
Oh, my gosh, I have tons of animals around here. You know, probably so. Well, actually, in our backyard, a couple of years ago, maybe it was in 2014, I was looking out the back, and I saw this white bird fly up into a tree. And by the way it was flying, I thought, well, that looks like somebody's domestic bird, you know. So I went running out, and I didn't spook it. And I thought, no, that's not like a cockatiel or you know, anything like that. Mm-hmm. I thought it was, you know, like a pied cockatiel.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, no, it's not that. So I sat and watched it, and it hopped down on the ground, and it was an albino robin. There were two of them.
Wow. You've got albino deer and albino robin. That's pretty
albino
rare.
Robins. Yeah, and, you know, I took a number of pictures of it, you know, so I could show people. And turns out that, you know, I'm real close to where Trowbridge Park is, and there were, you know, a number of people that I know that live in Trowbridge Park that said, oh, yeah, we had that, you know, the pair of them in our yard, too, and, you know, at some point during that summer. But that was really pretty neat, and I sat and watched it, you know, first it was the one, and then the second one came in, you know, a bit later. And, you know, I was thinking, what kind of a bird is that? And then when I saw it then down on the ground, you know, picking for worms, and I thought, oh, that's a robin. Hmm. And what else have I
you know,
had? Oh, my gosh.
And let me just, if you don't mind, I want to just say that,
sure.
You know, a robin's part of what they can mean. What a robin, a sighting of a robin, and not just one flying around, but maybe something that catches your eye that's a little unusual. And this was how long ago?
2014. I'm thinking, I'd have to go back and...
A robin can signify new beginnings. And I'm not necessarily saying that that's the case, but I'm with your sighting, because it can mean many things, but the overall, what animals, each animal stands for certain things. And with robins, could they come in the springtime? Obviously, they mean new beginnings. So when sometimes when you see a robin, that could be the message. And you've had some new beginnings, right?
And, you know, I definitely. And I, you know, I don't recall anything spectacular happening within, you know, a period of time after that. But I think things happen every day that we just don't appreciate, you know. And so it may have been something that, you know, somebody was worrying about or something that somebody was anticipating and they showed up. I don't
sometimes I think
anything.
they're there to give us a message. I mean, sometimes they're just there. They're animals.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And then other times I think also loved ones communicate with us through animals. They might, it's almost like they take over the animal for just a short period of time, my experience has been, and they give you a message. I think I told you the chickadee story. Did I tell you that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How unusual that was. And I've had many of those kind of things go on. And so to me, I'm pretty sure that sometimes our loved ones will communicate with us in the form of an animal, a lot of times a bird, or will there to be give you a message. So maybe they were giving you a message, the white robins. Then again, everybody else saw them around there. They were giving everybody the message around there.
Sure. Yeah. So. Well, that was so unusual. I've never seen anything like that. I've seen, you know, kind of the partially pied, you know, with some type, a little white here and there, but for them to be pure white, it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, we've had all kinds of, we had a black bear in our backyard at
really?
One point.
Well.
Quite a few years ago, and like I said, considering we're, we're basically right in Marquette, but
right.
Where we are is closer to like the Dead River, and so we do have a lot of wooded areas. Oh my goodness, I have to watch, you know, when I put my chickens out during the day, I have to watch. We have a fox and we have coyotes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So, you know, I do have to, you know, keep an eye on, you know, we have the girls now in a run. We used to let them just free range everywhere, but we have them fenced in now.
Why do you have chickens? Why do you like having chickens?
Well, you know, it was my husband's idea. And he would love to live on a farm. That's his.
Mm-hmm.
That is his dream. And I love animals, but I like to be 5 minutes from Target or wherever. You know,
right.
I do like living in town. And so you can now have six chickens, hens in Marquette. You cannot have a rooster, but you can now have. And so we thought, well, why not? And so.
Did you ever notice the chickens have, like, their own personalities, each of them?
They all do.
Yeah.
Each one is different. I really enjoy them. So I call them pets with benefits because, you know, they The Rhode Island Reds, we have two Rhode Island Reds, and they lay an egg just about every day. They'll start slowing down now that it's getting, colder. And then we have a great big black Australorp. She's like the leader of the pack. And she's real alert, and she watches out for, predators. And the rest of them will be picking around, and she's the one that stops and looks. And then we have a little teeny bantam. We have several little bantams, but we have one that doesn't mind being carried and will actually hop up on shoulders. And, it's pretty friendly.
That's cool.
Yeah, they're pretty fun.
That's amazing, because a lot of people might look at a chicken as just being a dumb animal, or my neighbor, which I can't see my neighbors at all. I live out enough in the country where I'm pretty well blocked off. I can see the highway. I'm fairly close to that, but my neighbor, years ago, he's moved away, but he lived in a wooded area behind me that was kind of tucked away, not that far from me, and one day, my wife was all freaked out because these chickens were roaming around, and I figured they were my neighbors. There were two of them.
Sure.
And so she kind of got them into the garage and waited for me to get home because she loves everything, but she's not as comfortable with animals like I am. And so I got home, and the two chickens were in there, and they're looking at me, and I said, come on, come with me. And then they start following me around. They followed me around like little dogs. They were just, and they were friendly, and I couldn't believe it because I never had an interaction like that with chickens. And I said, well, let's walk back to Tony's place. That was my neighbor. I said, come on. And they followed me all the way back through the trail back to his house. And I opened the pen, and I put them in. It's kind of neat, the connection
they have with any kind of animal. Right. Yeah, they're pretty cute. The Rhode Island Reds, they are pretty funny. And we take a bread and then we kind of roll it up. And if you hold it about 3 feet off the floor, off the ground, they will jump up and grab it. And they're just so cute. They're real sweet little animals. And they follow you everywhere. And now, like I said, we keep them penned because they would travel all over the neighborhood. I think
right.
if they
and there's predators out there now, so you gotta. You got to protect them for their own good, but it's you just learn so much from animals, regardless of what kind they are. I'm just glad to see that you welcome them all in. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to raise them to eat, which again, if people do that, that's up to them. But that wouldn't be me. I wouldn't be raising.
No, and right, yeah. In fact, we had one of our Rhode Island Reds got sick over the summer, and my husband put her down, and my husband's been he's getting ready for deer hunting right now, and I've grown to where that's something that he really enjoys. But he's this deer hunter, and when he came back from having to put down one of the chickens, he looked so sad, and I thought, considering how he was raised, I thought, well, that
it touched his heart. It touched his heart.
Right.
That's cool. That's cool. And I have nothing against people that hunt and all that stuff. I usually go up to my father-in-law's camp. I don't hunt, but I just go up there to keep an eye on him and be around and be there for him. Or sit out in nature. Sit out in the woods and just watch things from a hunting blind. And you never know. Sometimes you see some pretty neat things. So anyway, I just want to, is there anything else you want to talk about, Diane? Because we're running out of time, but congratulations on winning the $5,000. It's amazing, I think. Again, it shows the testament of, not just you, and the people up here. People come together. And I wanted to interview you because I just thought it was just such a nice story. We don't hear the happy stories out there. We get too much of the negative in the news. And things like this don't always probably get talked about as much,
Right. Thank you. Thank you.
So the $5,000, you got it all figured out. You already gave some to the other people at work, some of the other teachers.
Right. Mhm.
And you're going to buy.
I still am going to purchase a kiln and clays and glazes and things like that. And my students have been really wanting a classroom pet. So I've decided to get a bearded dragon.
Really?
And also an axolotl, which is a newt. They were originally from Mexico, and there are no longer the axolotls in the wild.
Hmm.
But there, you know, is a person that, you know, has been breeding them and, you know, selling them. And I thought that would be just a fascinating animal for the kids to experience.
That's
cool. And yeah.
It's nice of you to think outside the box.
Yeah. And I do. I like animals. I've had rabbits in the classroom over the years, and I've had, you know, different
feel
things.
That
so
animals can, do you feel like a psychic connection in any way to animals, Diane?
Well, you know, I have cats, besides my chickens, I have cats, and then I have a cockatiel. And, you know, those cats, they know when, you're not feeling well, and they know when you're not, you know, when you're a little down. You know, they do. But I do have a really kind of a funny story. I had a goldfish in my classroom who lived, and I have former students that will, you know, bring it up, bring this fish up. He lived for, I don't even know how many years, like 5?
Hmm.
And I'd bring him home for the summer, and I would plop him into I had this little, like a plastic pop-up pond that I put on the deck. And I'd plop him in there for the summer, and, you know, every day or two, I'd, you know, put food in there for him. And then when school would start, he'd go back out to school. And, I don't even remember how many years that I had him. Originally there were two, and, you know, he lived for a long time. And, pretty interesting. I'd come in the morning, turn on the light, and then I used to sit at the computer, which was, you know, just over from the fish tank. And he would come right over, and he would be looking at me. Now, I don't know if he's thinking, put some food in, hey, or what, but he would come over, and it was always, I've always had, as the classroom job, one of the kids will feed the fish or water the plants or whatever, you know. The kids take care of things like that. So I would always think, oh, you know, you've got to wait till the kids come in, you know, but he would come over and, you know, be directed my way there.
It's amazing. Even something so small like that, you know, there's a divine spark in everything, I guess is the way I look at it. And
right.
And there's intelligence in everything we encounter. So,
oh, absolutely.
If as much,
yeah, even with a,
go ahead.
Even with a little goldfish, you know, mm-hmm. You know, it, like I said, it, you know, I'd turn on the light, and then I would sit down and I'd, you know, check my email and, or whatever I was doing on the computer, but it would, you know, come over so that it was, you know, an eye was looking, you know, one of its eyes was looking at me.
Trying to make you feel guilty. Is what he's doing.
Yeah, get over here and feed me.
He's probably sending you a message mentally. You know, I'm going to stare at you. I'm going to keep looking.
Yep.
You're not going to get any work done. Diane, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for letting us be a part of your journey. And thank you for contacting me initially, because it's just, it's kind of makes everybody feel good, I think, that got to hear about this and be a part of it. That you won it, and somebody, I think that they couldn't have picked a better person, as far as I know. You know, your heart is in the right place, so congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for, you know, all that you and Radio Results, you know, did to help. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I'll be glad to help you again anytime. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. Thanks.